It's better over here.
After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in on a Reaction Monday. Game day Monday, which means we are out of here a bit early today. Around 4:15 is when the fellas will take over. Mark Vandermeer, John Harris and company, and the Texans pregame show kicks off as the eyes are on your Houston Texans in Dallas at AT&T Stadium, Jerry World, tonight. And you can listen to that right here live on Sports Radio 610. So make sure you stay tuned for that. A lot to get to here. As it's when you say a big game in sense to get back on track as you've lost two in a row, and to find a way to get back in that winning column and get to 7-4 as the Colts win yesterday, but you're just trying to get better and take care of a team that you should take care of. And you've been able to do that for the most part all season, Clint. But I know there's a couple of things in particular in this game from a couple of the top players that you are really, really paying attention to.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's a couple things we talked about last week. We talked this game six ways to Sunday, literally, and here we are sitting Monday with a short show before the Cowboy-Texans kick off on Monday night. And I just want to take a minute to circle back to a few things that came to light that I think are still top of mind as this game gets closer and closer, man. And number one, Ron, we talked about it. This is a Derek Stingley game. This is a Derek Stingley. When he was drafted here, number three overall, I said, this guy right here is the key to your defense. That is the expectations for a corner of the caliber, when you draft him number three overall, of the caliber of Derek Stingley Jr., this guy has to be a key to your defense. Part of being that key is when you face a team that has one weapon, literally one weapon. Now, that weapon is the most productive receiver in the league last year, I believe. Yeah. That weapon is a guy that lines up all over the damn place. He'll line up in the backfield and run it. He'll line up outside and catch it on motion. He'll go hit you underneath. He'll hit you deep. There's no doubt about it. CeeDee Lamb is an athlete and can do it all. This is why you drafted Derek Stingley number three overall. This game right here is a Derek Stingley game, and in every single critical situation, Derek Stingley Jr. should be in the chest of, under the chin strap of, CeeDee Lamb. Every single critical situation from jump. The first third and five, first third and anything. Derek Stingley Jr. should damn near be in CeeDee Lamb's uniform with him. Man to man, lock him up, let's ride. And Cooper Rush, you are going to have to beat me by going to your other pass catchers. You are going to have to beat me left-handed with a bunch of guys that are really, if we're being honest, are third and fourth level wide receivers or tight ends or whatever for you. Third or fourth options is what I was looking for. You're not going to beat me with CeeDee Lamb. That's number one, is this should be a Derek Stingley Jr. game without a doubt.
Yeah, I don't even know, because it's not like, right, there's a rule of, you know, some teams have a rule, they don't follow corners, right? There's some teams that, hey, this corner plays the right side, this corner plays the left side, we trust those corners with our defense, and this is what we do. Nope, they have shown, Clint, that they got no problem with having Derek Stingley travel with people. We watched him do it with Amari Cooper. We watched him do it multiple times last year. So he will do it. To me, I'm with you. There is nothing about watching him run and do cardio with Tolbert and Brooks or whoever else.
Doesn't make any sense.
Because they're not going to throw it that way. Or Jonathan Mingo if he plays. There is nothing about watching him just get cardio in against those guys while other people are – or they're taking advantage of matches.
There's several layers to this, right? Number one is they don't have anybody else. It's CeeDee Lamb. If you get beat, if the Cowboys score points, it's going to be because CeeDee Lamb goes ham. Ultimately, that's going to be it. So you've got every reason under the sun to lock him up on CeeDee Lamb, their only weapon. Then you look on your side of the football. You absolutely cannot allow CeeDee Lamb to get matched up with Jeff Okuda. You cannot allow CeeDee Lamb to get matched up with Jalen Petrie. You cannot allow CeeDee Lamb to get matched up with, I don't even know who the third corner is going to be if Jeff Okuda can go. I don't know who the third corner is going to be. You absolutely cannot let that happen in critical situations. And then look at what your film has told you against the better teams that you've played this year, against the better quarterbacks that you've played this year, against the better wide receiver units that you've played this year. You cannot, you have allowed those things to happen. You cannot continue that trend and let a lesser football team score points, keep up with you, and have any sign of life in the second half. Derek Stingley should shadow CeeDee Lamb every single time they're in a man situation, every time it's a third down situation, damn sure in a red zone. We should know it. The commentators should be talking about it. Number two, Ron, on my list here of things we need to circle back to, and this came about later in the week last week, but I don't think it's a stretch right now to say that C.J. Stroud's at a fork in the road. I don't think it's a stretch to say C.J. Stroud's at a fork in the road. You play great, like we know you're capable of, and you win. C.J. Stroud gets back to talking about being one of the best young quarterbacks in the game. He gets back to talking about being one of the best quarterbacks in the AFC, potentially. You play mid and you lose, or you play mid and this piss-poor Cowboy team keeps up with you, I think the worry around C.J. Stroud continues to grow. Later in the week last week, we heard players-only meetings. We heard C.J. Stroud and Dalton Schultz having pep talks. We've heard Bobby Slowick and D'Amico Ryans both finishing up there or at some point in their comments to the media. I mean, just kind of coming out of left field with complimenting and supporting C.J. Stroud, and we wouldn't be here if it wasn't for C.J. Stroud, and yada, yada, yada. It seems like there's a little something, a little worry, a little concern inside the walls over there about C.J.'s, you know, where C.J.'s at. And so I think this is a fork in the road game. This is one of those games where if C.J. Stroud goes out and plays well and handles his business, this is not a game in the fourth
quarter. It does feel like they are – I don't even want to use the word concerned. I don't want to put anything in their thoughts.
They feel the need to address it.
Yeah,
they feel the need to.
Like, there's something where they feel like, hey, come on, man.
Now's the time to really amp it up.
We want to get him rolling. Like, I don't know if there's a thought of, like, we got these three games coming up against teams that we should handle and he should handle to get his confidence up against that you know, the three-game stretch coming after that against teams that could be playoff teams. So, there is something within the building of, hey, let's kick it into gear, CJ. Let's get back to the guy that we remembered and thought and was the number one reason why many people thought we could be, well, could be contenders.
It just seems like there could potentially be a little chink in the armor of CJ Stroud. And this game would go a long way towards getting him back on track and getting him back armored up and getting him back believing in he is the guy, not needing everybody in the damn organization to pep talk him, right? Derek Stingley game for sure. C.J. Stroud's at a fork in the road. And then Nico Collins is back. Tank Dell seems to be coming around. And, Ron, the timing couldn't have been any better for John Metchie to have a little bit of a coming out party last week. Now, I know it was in a loss, and there was a lot of heartache and gut punch and all that with the Detroit game. But John Metchie balled out. John Metchie did a lot of things that I don't know about where everybody else seemed to have known John Metchie is the number one receiver in the NFL somehow, some way. I know for me, after watching John Metchie and him not being ready and not seeing the playmaking ability, not seeing the twitch, not seeing the explosion, not seeing the ability to separate, I was worried about John Metchie. What John Metchie did last week against Detroit was absolutely big time, and I have moved my stance on John Metchie. I think John Metchie will feel the number three wide receiver role for the Houston Texans right now. No Diggs. Tank's number two, Nico's number one, and Nico is back. I think John Metchie is going to fill that void and be a hell of an option for C.J. Stroud. We know C.J. Stroud's got great chemistry with him. He's gotten a ton of snaps with him from jump this year in training camp. So the John Metchie arrival, if you will, coming out party, if you will, last week, I look for that to continue this week and at least have him impact the game. Hopefully Nico takes all the catches and we're not worried about Metchie getting six or eight catches, but I do expect him to be more of a factor moving forward.
Yeah, it's not like for him to equal what he did last week, because you said, you know, not just your number one receiver, but the guy who was, I mean, he was getting as many targets and as many yards and as catches as anybody before he got injured. But, like, is he there to just, you know, one, is he going to get the snaps? Is he going to get the bulk of the snaps over Robert Woods and Xavier Hutchinson, which he has not coming into this game before last week when he got more snaps because it seemed like he was a hot hand? And, like, is he able to just actually fill the void? Like, if he has six catches for something like that, you know, I wouldn't think that. But is he able to go out there and beat, you know, man coverage with against the other team's third corner or something, because so much attention is going towards Tank and Nico? Can he do that, and will he get the opportunity? I know you think he can. I just want to see him continue to take the steps in the next game. Can he be consistent?
Yeah.
Getting open, can he be consistent coming up?
Yeah, that's a good point. Like, well, what I've seen for the first time, really, I mean, you know, the preseason game, New York Giants preseason game number three of four preseason games, he had a really good game, and you start to see some of these things. We talked about him at length. And then the regular season starts, and he takes a back seat to several guys, and there's not really an opportunity. But all of a sudden, regular season, boom, you don't have Nico, and you're up against a good defense, and you create separation both in the red zone and in a critical drive late. Catch deeper balls, catch, you know, the mid-range game, catch underneath balls. I see now, Ron, you're right. He's got to be more consistent and needs to do it for more games, obviously. But I'm telling you, man, just seeing the ability and going, that's why that guy was drafted in the second round. That's why they had that guy in the damn huddle so much in training camp instead of some of the other guys. I saw that last week against Detroit, and I expect it to continue moving forward in that number three role.
Yeah, and also fairness to him. Now, also, I think it may have something to do with what he has shown. He hadn't gotten, you know, as many opportunities to be consistent. But, like, you know, you don't forget that early in the year he was the odd man out. He was the one that wasn't dressing in games until there became an injury. We'll see what he does. But big for him to come through and see if he can kind of continue to build on last week's game.
Yeah, look, I think there's a handful of things, man. You mentioned earlier on the open, Ron, is there a way that this could be a tighter game down the stretch?
I just can't see it.
You know, it's hard to get there, but after watching the Texans this year, there is a path. Unfortunately, there is a path. And we're not too far removed from watching this team play a style of offensive football that would allow this thing to be close. Hopefully the return of Nico is big. Hopefully the C.J. Stroud can manage the game better than what he has the first 10 games overall. And if they do, they'll handle their business. There's your three things to look out for in this game.
I am. Yeah, those are good things to look at. And you just brought up the if this thing is close. I have a hard time seeing a Cowboy score 10 points. And maybe I do need to dial it back a little bit. I just have a hard time seeing them score double digit points. So even if the Texans offense struggles a little bit, I feel like they still gonna struggle themselves to 20 plus points, and it's still like a double digit game. I really feel like the Cowboys offense is gonna struggle, even without Will Anderson Jr. It is hard to see the number they did on the Lions, and then the Lions waltz out yesterday and scored 52 points on the Jags. The number they did on the Lions, to think that Cooper Rush and this team, that I'm telling you, if the Cowboys get down 10 to nothing, 14 to nothing early.
Oh, they'll quit.
CD's out. They will shut it down. So I don't, it's hard for me to roll. All right. The Texans, they're in Jerry World tonight, but that's not the only thing that happened. Big weekend for Jerry in AT&T Stadium. And the people on the text line, YouTube and Twitch, you can jump in on this. I know it's a big game tonight, but how y'all feel about that fight? Did you feel like y'all wasted y'all time on that fight last night?
I didn't see it.
I know you did.
I
was on a plane.
You didn't get to see it? I know you was on a plane.
The weird thing for me, and I mean, in today's world, you never know. Like, I couldn't even find anything on my, like, Twitter feed.
Oh, so you didn't even get to the situation of the buffering.
I heard all about it, but I couldn't even get to a spot where I saw, like, people even hardly talking about it on social media.
Yeah.
It was weird. I don't know. I didn't see it, but it was obviously, a lot of the concern is that Christmas Day game with the Texans and apparently the
glitches. Now you throw Beyonce in the mix too.
Yeah, you mess around, piss off the NFL and Beyonce. You may have
just saying that's going to be more people. You got more eyes now. They're going to be trying to.
No, I didn't. So you dealt. You saw.
I sat through it. I could not get it to. I'll tell you, Courtney was into this. They had took her to sleep. She couldn't hang in because we couldn't get it on the TV. But on my phone, I had a better chance, but it was really bad at first, and it just couldn't get in. All I saw was Cedric the Entertainer with that ridiculous hat that he had on, and then Michael Irvin with that sweater thing, but I couldn't get it. But finally I got it once the fight started, the Tyson Paul fight started. I mean it was boring as hell, man. Like that?
Was it really?
Oh, it was, man. It was. And Roy Jones was nervous the whole time.
Was Mike at least trying to knock him out?
I mean, as best he could. He can't move. I mean, we're in the second round. Roy Jones, he's saying he's doing the fight, calling the fight. Oh, I don't like Mike's legs. I don't like it at all. Rosie Perez, by the way, that's an upset that she was on the call as well. I don't like his legs. It was more like Roy Jones and whoever was calling the fight, they were repeatedly getting into it about, like, arguing in their way about this tick that Mike Tyson has about chewing his glove.
Like, chewing his glove?
Yeah, he chews his glove. And he kept doing it. And the commentator, and Roy Jones said, man, what is going on? Maybe his mouthpiece doesn't fit. That's probably messing with his breathing, too. And the guy was like, no, he does this. I've watched him. I've called several of his fights. He just chews on his mouthpiece. And then Roy's like, man, I fought him a few years ago, man. I'll never remember seeing him chewing on his mouth. They're just going back and forth. They asked Mike afterwards. He said, yeah, it's just a thing I do. I chew on, I bite my gloves. I've had biting problems in the past.
My God.
Nah, man, it was rough, man. Mike had that knee brace on. Like, every time Mike went over and sat down in that corner, like, I wanted to pour that water down his throat. I mean, he was whipped. It's just two minutes.
Yeah.
It was 2 minutes. Well, I mean, it was.
Well, I hate that for Mike. Glad he didn't get knocked out.
He got his $20 million. He didn't get knocked out. I thought he was going to. I mean, Roy repeatedly. Oh, I don't like his legs. I don't like him at all.
They're wobbling.
I don't like it. They just wasn't moving. Like, he just running circles around him. Like, he had no chance. He just running circles. He had this thick ass knee brace on. I'm just like, my God.
Did old buddy look like a real boxer at least?
Yeah, I mean, he was a lot more technical. He was a lot more than I remember him being. Like, and but you could tell, I don't know if he was doing it out of like, let's make these eight rounds go.
Right.
But I do think there was still fear to just, hey, let me just get in here and be aggressive on this nut. Because Mike just has one that he can throw.
Mike didn't have 16 minutes in him?
No, he didn't. I mean, he was over there like like he was them final like five rounds, Mike was using all of his allotted sit on the stool time that he had right. before he had to walk back out there. Now you remember the mic that would charge? There was no charge.
Get up and go.
There was no charge in Mike after a couple of rounds. All right, coming up, who this is about tonight. For the Texans. Who this is about tonight, we'll discuss that coming up next.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. Remember, tomorrow is a Texans Ticket Tuesday. Be listening tomorrow. And that's going from 9 a.m. on Payne and Pendergast. Also, you have a chance to win some as well on In the Loop with Lopez, Reggie, and Figgy. Payne and Pendergast also with Ben as well. Got a chance to win tickets there. And also right here with The Drive tomorrow. Got a chance to win a pair of tickets, front row seats in the bullpen, for the game against the Titans. So that's coming up tomorrow. Stay tuned for that. All right, Clint. I know you've been here as much as I have. We've all been here. We've had a lot of conversations and discussions here the last few weeks. And the coaches have gotten a lot of criticism. Fairly. A lot of fair criticism the coaches have gotten. Bobby Slowick at the top of the list. I think D'Amico has started to get some criticism as well. The staff as a whole has gotten criticism. I think the players, to me, I'm not saying they haven't gotten criticism, but it feels like maybe it's a little light at times with certain groups of guys. And tonight, Clint, yes, I think Bobby Slowick, you want to see a better game plan. And as you've said, closer to the Detroit style of game plan they had. You want to see D'Amico continue to do things and put them in the best situations possible and not, you know, have odd coverages late in games. But also, Clint, man, like at some point we got to take a little bit off of the coaches and the players got to start to perform, Clint. The players out there have to perform, and the players from a lot of different aspects have not executed, right? We've heard that word thrown around a lot. And what I'm looking for in this game, man, there's such a mismatch to me in terms of players with these two teams have and what the ability their rosters can do right now, the guys that are going to be playing on the field. But hell, man, I feel like the Texans coaching staff can have a vanilla game plan and they should still be able to beat these guys. A little bit on this has to be, a lot of this to me has to be on the players tonight. And I want to see the players start to execute things, the players start to come through and do things and not as much relying on, oh, the coaching this. Yes, the coaching obviously can be improved, but the players got to take some of this too the last several weeks they've struggled.
Look, I don't disagree one bit. I think you look at whether you're looking at games where, like, I believe that Bobby Slowick and D'Amico and all involved were just being super bullheaded and not making adjustments. Even in those games, as I said, there were throws that CJ May missed that he made in his sleep in 2023. You know, Tank Dell drops a touchdown against, I think it was the Jets, wasn't it, in the back of the end zone?
The Packers,
that's right, back of the end zone. You know, there's been games where Dalton Schultz is dropping balls. You know, there's just
obviously the offensive line completely missing assignments.
Well, even when the plan is better and you got a decent chance and in critical moments your two highly paid tackles get absolutely destroyed. So yeah, look, I don't disagree at all. This is definitely a game where if the guys show up and they just put a just shoot par, man. Just go in there and put a good game on film. Don't it be great? Go put a good game on film for you. Then I think the Texas stretches thing out in the fourth quarter and it's over.
Yeah, execute and do and be where you're supposed to be. As someone just texted, you can beat the hell out of folks with a vanilla game plan so as long as you execute them and they're trying to come after your heart savagely well is what they're
there you person, go. There you go.
This person texted. Now I just feel like so much is going to the coaches and in many cases, and you know this, sometimes, man, we don't actually know exactly like, oh, was that a bad coach's call? Or did somebody just blow something? Like there are some things that you like yesterday, for instance. Like I know Todd Monken is interesting. The final play of the game, I don't know why he doesn't have Derrick Henry in the game for the 2-point conversion. But it ends up being a sweep to the short side of the field with no lead blocker. I just can't believe that was the play drawn up for the 2-point conversion. You got two wide receivers, don't know what they're doing. I just cannot believe there are probably because all we hear from D'Amico, execute. We hear from the players, execute. That's what we've been hearing, Bobby. We've got to execute. And I heard Lopez saying the other day. He said, "Hey, it ain't as much the coaching." Some of these guys aren't executing. I think that's a little bit. I think that's a lot of it when you come up front, not executing the game plan, how to pass people off and what you're supposed to be doing. I want to see the players kind of not skate through. No, it's them too. There's some times where you draw up the perfect defense. You draw up the perfect thing. You draw up the perfect matchup, and it's not being executed. And this is a game where the players, hell with the coaching. Right, maybe in a few weeks, Bobby Slowick's going to have to come up with a hell of a game plan, and D'Amico's going to have to come up with a Detroit Lions type of a game plan against teams later down the stretch, the Baltimores, the Kansas Cities. But in this game, man, the players should be able to hold, as you said, shoot par. Shoot par, they'll be fine. Not to mention what they would do if they played to their ability.
Yeah, look, you're talking about a game here, guys, where, I mean, you should be able to, you should be able to run the football to victory. I mean, you should be able to. You're good enough up front against this level of defense. And Joe Mixon is good enough at doing a lot on his own. You should be able to have a run dominant, run heavy game plan, which I ain't never met an offensive coordinator outside of the damn air raid that wouldn't be okay with that. And just constantly chew the clock up, constantly be in scoring range, at least field goal range, if not in the red zone for touchdowns. You should be able to very, you said vanilla, very, very minimal, shots or risk is what I'm looking for. Very minimal risk. You should be able to live in an area where you can end your drive in points. And so that's, to your point, the players should be able to execute that and make that happen, at the very least.
At the very least. All right. Coming up, as we will hand this thing off here a little after 4, we'll do T-Mill's best bets. We'll look at what he did over the weekend. It started off rough last week to start, but it looks like he may have finished strong, and then we'll see what he's got coming up tonight. As the Texans, I'm sure he's like, this is the Texans, Monday Night Football. I am certain this may feel like an Astros game in June where he's just got 8-9 bets that he is rolling out there and trying to get money on. So T-Mills
eight bets, or nine?
I wouldn't be surprised if he had about 10 of them out there. Like he used, like baseball season, he was having like 12 to 15 bets out there. And like 8 of them were
he's
Astros
got one game.
Bets. Damn, Tyler.
He's got one game.
He's got one game. It's getting very doable.
I know it's doable, but
I mean, it's prop
and if anybody can pull it off, it's T.
Yeah, it is T. So we'll get that and continue to get you ready for this game coming up as we continue right here live on The Drive.
It's a Shoppers John Deere Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back in. As I see Sean Pendergast, if those of you on YouTube and Twitch may have caught him there, as we will be handing things over. Pre-game show coming up. John, Seth will take it over.
Clint, come on, Sean.
Clint and Sean have the post-game show. A little late-night action from Clint and Sean. So after the game, when this thing is over and the Texans have blown them out, you will... You'll be able to hear Sean and Clint break it all down, and
I'm looking forward to it, boys.
Should be, man. This is. I'm looking forward to coming in with happiness and joy. Texas, well, look, I'm got just, back on track and beat the.
You said it right there. Cowboys. You said it right there. I am looking for the Cowboys to take an ass whooping from the Texans, and that whooping be get to 7-4. Stop this little bit of a slide the Texans were on. Figure some things out offensively. Get the quarterback back rolling, and do it all at the expense of the Cowboys in that big, nice, beautiful stadium they got down there that Jerry refuses to put them curtains up in.
Clearly there's something they can do about that, right? There's clearly like it, and he's just like it's hurting his own team. This is very LeBron and his hair, like I'm gonna be stubborn and put my foot down, and nobody's gonna make me put that curtain up. And you've got to have him fix that. You're gonna have to make it feel like it was his idea.
Well, can I tell you what my thoughts are here? I think it's unfixable.
Is it?
Can I tell you what my thoughts are? And I have no idea, by the way.
You don't think they could come into the offseason and figure a way to do something to combat? To combat that damn,
I think there's something that could be done, but the like right now, like and people want it done right now because it just costs you points on a board, right? Like, and this is I could be totally wrong. So anybody out there that knows the stadium or maybe heard something, tell me if I'm wrong. But I'd be willing to bet you that with that curtain closed, whatever curtain's there for concerts or whatever that people are talking about, I'd be willing to bet you it cuts off Jerry's standing room only tickets he sold. It somehow impacts his ability in that standing room only area up there.
Some maybe, yeah, they had to close that off.
He's
made enough
time.
Money in them standing room only tickets to pay CeeDee Lamb's contract.
He ain't gonna miss a dime.
He ain't gonna miss a dime. Damn sure not when you're a 3-win football team.
I just got to believe there is something, whatever it is, they can cover.
I would believe
something
that there
they
would
can
be
build.
Too. We'll see. At least see the stadium.
But Jerry over there, like it ain't been no. How long has that place been open? And y'all ain't even complained about it for this long.
It's first time I've ever seen it. I'm sure they've complained about it, but it's the first time I've ever seen a player like in play in real game affected by it. I mean, high school games played there, college games played
like
there. All the time.
Yeah, he's like, nah, I'm about to put
what's
this
your
in this
point?
This ain't been no damn problem this whole time. I've been no damn problem. Is this real quick? And I want to throw this out to the people before we get to Tyler's best bet. Is this just a flat lose-lose situation for the Texans where they win? They're supposed
absolutely
to do it. If they lose, then it's hell. Like, is there anything that can happen tonight for you all? 713-572-4610, those of you on YouTube and Twitch. Is there anything that can happen tonight that can impress you about the Texans?
Oh, yeah.
There is.
Can impress me?
That can impress. Like,
yeah.
Is there anything that can happen tonight that can... Because I want are the cap like the Cowboys are bad? Are they just too bad to be impressive?
Look, the Texans, if they go out there and play up to their standard and not down to the Cowboys' standard, and they play on national television and put that Texans product out there that we've seen multiple times, the good one I'm talking about. And they come away from this game having played the Texans football that they're capable of playing. Hell yes, they can win. Now to your overall question, I think it's a lose lose from a standpoint. If you win, you did what you were supposed to do, and if you lose, all hell's breaking loose. So I mean, there's not a whole hell of a lot to gain for the Texans in this game in terms of winning, but there's a lot to lose in terms of losing.
I think I could be impressed because I think a win tonight, you know, especially if they go in and take care of business like you think, that there's a maturity to that. There's a maturity to going in and not playing down to your opponent. Like we've seen them against teams like the Bears when they were starting out early and the Bears give them trouble. I could be like impressed if they come out there, man, and they just dog these cats and they completely take control of this thing and there's a mature way about how they win this thing. I can be impressed. From the text line coming in and from YouTube and Twitch, Mark says they will impress me by playing at their level rather than the team they're playing's level. And that's what I mean, right? Like in terms of the maturity of playing to the level that whatever they're striding for and not just down to this. I'll be disappointed if it's close to me, but I can be impressed if they go out there and you clearly see this is a team that's moving in a different direction. So I mean, yeah, I like if they win, I'm not coming out here and saying, hey, now they're AFC contenders or now they're Super Bowl contenders. But there is a level of maturity to what could happen if they do get out there and get a dub. All right, as we said, coming up a little bit after four, Sean, and then we'll take over coming up in the next segment. But right now, let's make a little cash for you, make a little money right now. As Tyler is looking to get off to a better week. Last week overall, he put himself in a bad spot with the first 2 days. But had a pretty good weekend. It was above 50.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts. It's
better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device, credit, service, ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
50% over the weekend. What you got tonight? What you got tonight? A big one here.
Yeah,
for the Texans and the Cowboys.
Yes, gotta definitely start this week a bit stronger than last week. That would be ideal. And I got 6 best bets for you for tonight's game between the Texans and the Cowboys. 4 of them are going to be player props. The other 2 you'll hear right now. So get them pens and pencils ready. If you need to look back at my best bets, you can find them on my Twitter at @TMillRealDeal. Here are your 6 best bets for Cowboys Texans. First off, I am on the over heavy tonight. I'm on the opposite side of Clinton Ron in there on this one, I believe. But I'm on over 41 points scored in this game. Obviously, the majority of those being scored by the Texans, hopefully tonight at AT&T Stadium. But I'm on the over 41. Lock that one in. I'm also on the Texans over for the first quarter. Over 6.5. I think Stroud and the boys get a touchdown early in this game. Over 6.5 in the first quarter for the Texans. And now here are your 4 player props. 3 Texans, 1 Cowboy. I got CJ Stroud. This is a bet I've told y'all numerous times I've won really good money on throughout this season. It hits way more often than not. I am on CJ Stroud over rushing. He can get this in one broken play. Stroud over 8.5 rushing yards tonight. Lock that one in. Nico Collins. He's returning to action for the Texans tonight in Dallas. I'm on Nico over 5.5 receptions. I think CJ is going to be finding his favorite target early and often, and he'll by far eclipse that 5.5 catch mark. I'm also on Dalton Schultz on his receptions. It's set pretty low at 2.5. I think they're going to really be trying to get Dalton involved in this game. We know the frustrations there with the tight end for the Texans this season. And lastly, one Cowboy prop for you, mainly because I think they're going to have to be throwing the ball a hell of a lot tonight. I'm on Cooper Rush over 175.5 passing yards versus the Texans. Those are your six best bets. Ron Clint, have at it. What do you like? What do you don't like? Let me know.
I definitely like the C.J. Stroud rush yards. I feel like a couple of times Mike is probably going to force him out of the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll run and get his, while they're scared to death and man, he'll run and get a couple of yards. And I'm with you on the Nico thing. I feel like early they're going to want to get Nico involved. I feel like Nico, Clint probably catches at least maybe two just screens or hitches that are thrown right out to him just to get him involved. So 5.5 catches. Yeah, this feels like a 7-8 catch night for Nico. Mm-hmm. So I really like the Nico and the Stroud yards. Rush yards, that one's appetizing.
I think my favorite, best bets, right? I think my favorite of all your bets here, mm-hmm. T, Dalton Schultz over 2.5 catches.
Really?
Yep.
That surprises me.
Yep,
but I mean, it is one of my best bets. It's not that surprising.
I do. Fair. I do like the Nico Collins bet, but the Dalton Schultz over 2.5,
mm-hmm.
That just seems like where I think this team needs to live offensively. I think it there's a direct reflection on Schultz numbers, mm-hmm. and targets. So I like that 2.5. I like that a lot. In fact, you got room for me?
I actually saved you room enough for one bet of $100. I saved you room tonight. Is that the one you wanted on?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll take that. Yep.
Okay. Yep. I'll lock it in right now.
Lock it in for me.
You got it?
You hear it?
I heard it.
$100 right there. He had room for me, man. That's a good man right there.
I'm so confident in that. What is the line? 7?
Yes, it's been holding today pretty strong. It's at the Texans being a touchdown favorite.
I almost thought about putting me a little money on that.
Well, do it, man. You've been talking about it all week. You feel strongly about it.
I do. I feel real strong about it. But, you know, we just had to get Bears.
He lost his balls.
Yeah, he lost his balls this morning.
What does that have to do with you betting?
I mean, that's a good little piece we had to lay out.
Well, win it back.
I don't need to win it back.
You can win Bears ball surgery right now.
That's a
win
it back tonight. Point.
It's all right. I'll just.
You seem very confident. Win it
I
back.
I am very confident.
Walk in and throw that jar full of money and say, babe, we couldn't get Bears balls, but there's our money back.
I'll do it in another one.
We got that ball money back.
I looked it in his eyes last night when I took him for his walk. He had no idea.
Come on, man. This is too much, man.
He had no idea.
We've been working together a long time. The way you talk about that dog and what y'all are doing to him is inappropriate.
What are you talking about?
It's inappropriate.
I looked in his eyes. He had no idea what was coming.
I just always think about what the dog must be thinking when they wake up.
I always thought you were one of them fellas that had a better heart than most. I mean,
I have a big heart. I almost called up there to see how he was doing.
Oh, yeah, see how he's doing. All you want to do is see if you can get him in a jar one more time. See if they go ahead and slide.
They've made
that
clear that they won't do that.
You're terrible.
I always wonder what they're thinking. Like, imagine just waking up and your balls are gone. What's going through Bear's mind? He comes to and he's like, oh, my God.
If I know him, he gave them hell. That energy.
Put it over his face.
Oh, man. You can't put a leash on Bear if you
much less a mask.
Hold it on there. He's probably lost his every last of mine. All right, what you got coming up in the four?
You asked me, Ron, multiple times today, is there any way that you see this game as a game the Texans lose? I'm gonna tell you there's one way. There's one damn way, and it's on one man. I'll tell you who that is. We'll cuss and discuss next right here on Sports Radio 610.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW,
the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.